In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, some people came to me and said, what do you think about Francis's consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary? So I'd just like to speak about that briefly and then talk about what's meant by the consecration to Our Lady. First of all, you know, Francis is not a true pope, so anybody can consecrate something, but he has no authority in the Catholic Church. I mean, a dog catcher has authority in his job, and people have authority in their jobs. But if he's not a pope, he can't consecrate the world and as a Catholic. So I'd just like to quickly summarize something why I believe that. Somebody told me this a few years ago and summarized it very well. He said, things are changing in the church fast. That pope is no good. He's ripping the church to shreds, tearing the church apart one brick at a time. He's paving the way for Antichrist. The Antichrist will eventually sit on the throne of the pope. The way has to be paved first. Many are not of God that walk the corridors of the Vatican. So just to begin with, in the year 2017, Lutherans celebrated the revolution of Martin Luther in 1517, when he broke away from the church. And then, in his honor, Francis traveled to Sweden to meet with the Protestant Lutheran minister. And then he managed to say four heresies in three sentences. Here are the sentences. But the true religions are development of the capacity that humanity has to transcend itself towards the absolute. Proselytism is a sinful attitude. It would be like transforming the church into an organization. So heresy one, to use true religion in the plural is to deny that the Catholic Church is the one true church. Two, to say that the true religion is the development of the capacity that humanity has to transcend itself towards the absolute is pure modernism, which was condemned as a heresy by St. Pius X. Heresy three, to say that proselytism, which is the fulfillment of Christ to preach the gospel to all nations, is a sin, is a blasphemous heresy. It says that the canonized saints like St. Francis Xavier, the North America martyrs, etc., are all sinners. And then heresy four, it'd be like transforming the church into an organization. It's a faith that the Catholic Church is a visible organization. So, and just a few other things. When Martin Luther, right shortly after that, the Vatican put out two stamps. One had a picture of Christ on the cross, and instead of having Mary and St. Joseph, they had Luther and Melanchthon, the first two Lutherans. And then they had another stamp with Luther's picture and said, witness to the gospel. Okay, and then regarding religious indifferentism, this is in May 24th, 2015. He said in a Vatican radio message, I feel like saying something that may sound controversial and even heretical, perhaps, but there is someone who knows that despite our differences, we are one. He doesn't care if they're evangelicals or Orthodox, Lutherans, Catholics, or apostolic. He doesn't care. They are Christians. And then in an interview with the Italian newspaper La Repubblica, September 24th, 2013, I believe in God, not in a Catholic God. There is no Catholic God. There is God, and I believe in Jesus Christ, His incarnation. So you can ask if someone's in First Communion class. Okay, we believe in one God, God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's different than the gods, false gods that others believe. And then regarding the creation, we teach that in First Communion class too. When we read about creation in Genesis, Francis said in October 27th, 2014, we run the risk of imagining God was a magician with a magic wand, able to do everything. But that is not so. He's almighty. He can do everything. And then he said there is no hell. Those who do not repent, in other words, who die in mortal sin, they do not repent, even on their deathbed. Those who do not repent and cannot therefore be forgiven disappear. There is no hell. There is the disappearance of sinful souls. And then in Amoris Laetitiae, a really long document about marriage and other things, in number 297, it says, denies the existence of hell too. No one can be condemned forever. No one can be condemned forever. Not Satan, not souls that die in, unrepentant. Because that's not the logic of the gospel. Here I'm not speaking only of the divorced and remarried, but of everyone in whatever situation they find themselves. And then he denies that if you commit a mortal sin, do not repent, that you go to hell. Hence, it can't, this is number 301, hence it can no longer simply be said that all those in any irregular situation are living in a state of mortal sin and are deprived of sanctifying grace. But then there's the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then this is an address to the Diocese of Rome's Pastoral College in the question and answer session, June 16, 2016, where it says, living in sin is okay. They prefer to cohabitate. And this is a challenge, a task. Not to ask, why don't you marry? No, to accompany, to wait, and to help them to mature, help fidelity to mature. I've seen a lot of fidelity in these cohabitations. And I'm sure that this is a real marriage. They have the grace of a real marriage because of their fidelity. So it becomes a sacrament. And then a few other things. This was on the Holy Eucharist. So we believe that our Lord is present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And that's truly Christ that we adore. But other religions think it's symbolic. But this was a plane ride back from his trip to Romania in June 2019. Francis told reporters that since there is already Christian unity, there is no need for the faithful to wait for theologians to come to agreement on the Holy Eucharist, on the Eucharist. So, and then in Morocco, he said, for being a Christian is not about adhering to a doctrine. So that's, if you adhere to a special doctrine, okay, that doesn't mean you're a Christian. Being Christian is about an encounter with Christ. And then here's where he denies divinity of Christ. We already talked about the newspaper La Repubblica, and then its atheist, the one who started, Eugenio Scafari. He's published interviews with Francis in the past, and he said, those who, as it has happened many times with me, have had the luck of meeting him, in other words, Francis, and speaking to him with the greatest cultural intimacy, know that Pope Francis conceives Christ as Jesus of Nazareth, man, not God incarnate. Once incarnate, Jesus stops being a God and becomes a man until his death on the cross. He said further, when I had the chance of discussing these sentences, Pope Francis told me, they are the proven proof that Jesus of Nazareth, once having become a man, was though a man of exceptional virtues, not at all a God. So it's not only heresy, it's apostasy. Okay, but goes on. Then in then this is when he signed a document together with the Grand Imam of El Azhar, entitled A Document on Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. And he's saying that there's many religions, and God's okay with that. That's part of God's will. So he says, the pluralism and the diversity of religions. Remember, there's thousands and thousands of religions. The pluralism and the diversity of religions are willed by God in his wisdom through which he created human beings. And again, that's against what Pope Gregory the 16th and Pope Pius the 9th said about freedom of conscience. And then we talked about Scalfari, this atheist, founder of the leftist newspaper La Repubblica. He spoke to Francis, and then Francis was suggesting that saying one must love your neighbor not only as yourself, more than yourself. So that sounds like communism. So here's what he said. The journalist, Scalfari, insinuated that this comment must mean the Pope prefers a society dominated by equality, which is the same program adopted by Marxist socialism and communism. When asked by Scalfari if he thinks of a type of Marxist society, Pope Francis, who has repeatedly referred to the gospel when accused of being a communist, responded that if anything, it's the communists who think like Christians. So we know he already changed the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. He didn't like the words, lead us not into temptation, so he rewrote that. And they said the Blessed Virgin Mary has flaws. She's not sinless. He mocks the rosary. So he's denied divinity of Christ, transubstantiation. In other words, we believe that the bread and wine become body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ during the Mass. And he says, Christ becomes the bread. Christ becomes the bread. Earlier, he denied the existence of hell, saying that bad souls are merely annihilated at death. He has denied the unity of God. In other words, that there's one God and three divine persons. That's like in the first lesson in First Communion class. He called the single divine essence, in other words, one God and three persons, God Spray, S-P-R-A-Y. Has called the Church's solemn mission to preach the gospel solemn nonsense. Has stated that atheists can go to heaven, said that God sometimes wants you to commit adultery in order to keep the family together, and has taught that those who live in adultery can approach Holy Communion. And then you add to that the introduction of the Pachamama idolatry in the Vatican, Mother Earth, and then about the evolution of dogma, which is a heresy condemned by Pope St. Pius X explicitly, but this was in the Vatican website, Vatican News website. It says, it's necessary to understand when a development of doctrine is faithful to tradition. The history of the Church teaches us that it's necessary for us to follow the Spirit rather than the strict letter. In fact, if one is looking for non-contradiction between texts and documents, they're likely to hit a roadblock. In other words, what he's saying is that there will be contradictions between what was taught before and what is taught now. And then there's some people who walk the fence. It's recognize and resist. He's the Pope, but we just ignore him and reject him. And when he teaches the truth, we follow him. When he doesn't, when he's a heretic, we reject him. But here's what he said about Vatican II, that people must follow Vatican II. And you read this yourselves, I'm sure. This is the magisterium. The council is the magisterium of the Church. In other words, the solemn teaching authority of the Church. Either you're with the Church and therefore you follow the council, Vatican II, or if you do not follow the council and you interpret it in your own way as you wish, you're not with the Church. We must be demanding and strict on this point, he said. And then you remember last year in July 16th, Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, where he issued his motu proprio, severely restricting the use of the Latin Mass in the modern Church. And then in December, they came out with some, December 18th, the Congregation of the Vatican published a letter answering various questions that arose. And then it says that it's forbidden to have confirmation and ordination in the traditional rites, and attempts to force concelebration on traditionally minded priests, among other things. And so he, just in quick summary, he placed a pagan bowl of dirt and weeds upon the altar in St. Peter's Basilica, participate in a pagan ritual in the Vatican garden and worship Pachamama, denied the divinity and resurrection of Christ, denied that any souls go to hell, but are rather annihilated, convoked a synod intent upon the ordination of women and legitimizing adultery, honors false religion and affirms them as paths to salvation. So, heresy puts you outside the church. And you've probably seen this before, but let's just say this means you're united to the Catholic Church. And then once you deny a doctrine of divine and Catholic faith, and we went through about 10 of them already, you're outside the Catholic Church. If you're not a Catholic, how can you be the leader of the Catholic Church? You're not even a member. You were cut off. Heresy puts a person outside the church. That being the case, there's no need for a declaration to say that Bergoglio or Pope Francis is outside the church. His numerous heresies are manifest. Many people believe that there must be a council and then they condemn him, or a formal declaration of the effect that he is a heretic before he loses his office. But that's not what Canon 188.4 says, that someone automatically loses their office without any declaration. And also with Pope Paul IV, what these people fail to understand also is that Bergoglio never was a pope. First, okay, there's four things you have to be a pope. You have to be male, you have to be properly elected, you have to accept the papacy and be able to do that. And then, you have to be a Catholic, be male, and then be able to accept, be properly elected, and then accept the papacy. So if you're not a Catholic, it doesn't matter if you're elected. His heresy before he was elected made him ineligible. And Bergoglio was clearly a heretic before he was elected. Second, the cardinals, so-called cardinals who elected him, had no authority anyway, because they were all heretics. So how could they elect a pope and had no Catholic authority? So however you look at it, Bergoglio cannot be the pope, the vicar of Christ. He's not even a member of the Catholic Church. He hasn't been a Catholic for a long, long time. And one who is not a member of an organization cannot be the head of that organization. It's a matter of simple logic. So if he made a consecration of Russia, then he wasn't the pope making a consecration. He was a person saying some prayers. So let's quickly talk about what consecration means. In his encyclical on the queenship of Mary, Pope Pius XII said that on May 31st, he says, I'll read this. We decree and institute the Feast of Mary as Queen to be celebrated throughout the entire world every year on May 31st. And likewise, we command that on that same day there be renewed the consecration of the human race to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Upon this, there is founded a great hope that there may arise an era of happiness that will rejoice in the triumph of religion and Christian peace. So there's a specific prayer the priest are told to say on May 31st to renew the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But what does consecrate mean? Strictly defined, it means to set aside something as sacred for sacred purposes. So this chalice was consecrated many years ago. It could not be used until the bishop consecrated. He had to use blessed oils and say certain prayers. And then if it's used for a profane purpose, then it's called desecrate. When a church is blessed, then it's consecrated. And the hands of the priest are consecrated. The priest in religious vows, they're consecrated to God. In baptism, they're consecrated to God, etc. So, but if a church was converted into a pagan temple, there was false worship, then there had to be a ceremony of reconciliation and be re-consecrated. So when I came to Queen of Angels 1988, about the year 1989, we consecrated our parish to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We put it under her patronage. ask her to help us, and to that it was set aside under her special care. And then this was the picture that we used. It's at the rectory now. And the Our Lady's apparition of Fatima on July 16th, 1917. She showed the children the vision of hell, and this is what she said. "You've seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wants to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If people will do what I tell you, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. The war will go, it's going to end, World War I. It was made known that that Our Lady wanted the world to be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It was the will, not the desire, nor request, nor hope, but the will of the Heavenly Father, that all the world be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And the Pope was supposed to do that in union with all the bishops of the world." And then this is what she said: If they heed my request, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she shall spread her errors throughout the world, promoting wars and persecution of the church. The good will be martyred, the Holy Father will have much to suffer, various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, which will be converted, and some time of peace will be given to the world. And then nothing was done for a long time, and then in 1940, Sister Lucia wrote to the Bishop of Leiria near Fatima. In 1940, Lucy wrote again to the Bishop of Leiria, expressing her regret that the consecration had not yet been made. "Would that the world knew the hour of grace that is being given it, and would do penance." Then she wrote directly to Pope Pius XII at the command of her spiritual directors, telling him the exact request of Our Lady. Our Lady asked for the consecration of the world to Mary's Immaculate Heart, with the special mention of Russia. So that was 1940. In 1942, the people and clergy of Portugal celebrated the silver anniversary of the apparitions of Fatima. And there were 40,000 people that came, and the bishops of the country gathered at the shrine to join with the Holy Father in fulfilling the request of Our Lady. In 1942, Pope Pius XII consecrated Russia and the entire world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And here's what Sister Lucia wrote: "The good Lord has already shown me his pleasure in the act of the Holy Father and the various bishops, although incomplete according to his desire, because he wanted it together with all the bishops. Our Lord said that the act of the Holy Father is incomplete, but it cannot be completed until every individual, every home, every diocese, and every country consecrates itself after the example of the Holy Father to the Immaculate Heart. As the Bishop of Leiria wrote, at the request of the bishops of Portugal and of Sister Lucia herself, the Holy Father, in the course of his famous message to Portugal at the close of the Fatima Jubilee on October 31st, 1942, made the consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart, a consecration we must all repeat officially and personally." So, just very simply, what we're supposed to do is, when something's set aside and is consecrated, then we're supposed to, if we're consecrated to Our Lady, we should have family prayer, avoid unnecessary occasions of sin, live a Catholic life, dress modestly, make the five first Saturdays. We can have our throne, homes enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, wear the brown scapular, and then also make the De Montfort consecration. So again, I just hope I was able to explain real briefly what's meant by consecration and why Francis' thing is meaningless. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.